Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of comfort, that's about as comfortable a first-round series as you're going to find.
Yeah.
Average win by 18 points per game. What happens for the next week now? Do these guys have the opportunity to get out of town and go on vacation? What's a practice schedule look like? How does a team handle this?
They'll probably take 1 or 2 days off. Then you don't want to get too far away from basketball because that's when the rust and all that stuff kicks in. So they'll get back in the gym, maybe have some light practice and just kind of build up. And the biggest thing is for the guys that are injured to get them some kind of some run. They'll probably get some 3-on-3 in when they get a chance. Maybe the last few days for Sean Livingston, Matt Barnes, and that'll be good for them. And it's perfect. I'm not as worried about rust because I talked about this last night. We've seen the Warriors sleepwalk through a half and come out in the third quarter and just turn the defense up. Offensively, they're clicking. They come out on fire after halftime. And even if they're like that the whole game, if they're struggling the whole game with their rust, you got to remember, if this Clippers and Jazz series goes 7 games, then they got to turn right back around and play the Warriors. And they may be fighting fatigue. So which one would you rather have, rust or fatigue? I think I'd rather be rested and be fighting sluggishness than the other way around. So I like the position the Warriors are in. It is perfect. And you never know. Some guys may get out of town for a day or two, and that's their prerogative. But they'll be back in the gym soon. You don't want to get too far away from that.
When you watched Portland last night, Glennon, you were just watching it before it even started, the body language when the game started. They were getting motorboated.
That's what we say instead of boat race. Motorboated is the same as boat race.
Right, just a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Not exactly a highbrow radio program. Let's be honest with ourselves.
You like that one, huh?
I like it.
You just watch them. How much was that just like when you ran a mile and you're behind the guy by friggin' half a lap? You just start jogging. You know you can't catch him. You know you can't beat him. Did you see Portland like that in that scene last night? That they knew no matter what, that game or the series is pretty much over?
That's a good analogy, by the way. I think they got hit in the mouth, and the Warriors just kept hitting. For the Warriors, it was just the perfect closeout game mentality. Just that killer instinct where we're going to come out and we're going to ransack you the first quarter. We're going to get off to this crazy fast start.
Yeah.
And you're going to be thinking about your summer vacation by halftime.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they did. Defensively, they came out on fire. They didn't even have to start with double teams or any of that stuff. They just had their intensity super high. And then offensively, everybody was clicking. We were watching the game in the Infinity Lounge. That's our green room.
Yeah.
And some guy walks in and goes, "Okay, who's scoring? What's going on?" And we're like, "Who's not scoring? Like everybody."
How much time you got?
Yeah. Right. Everybody is killing right now, and they just never let up. And sometimes the Warriors get big leads, and we're talking about, okay, the other team's going to make a run here. Can the Warriors withstand it? How low is the score going to get, or did the deficit going to get? And that never happened. They were never able to really go on a run. You had Damian Lillard fighting back for the most part.
Right.
He was a monster. Al-Farouq Aminu got into a nice rhythm. Maybe Shabazz Napier off the bench. Other than that, no one could get anything going. And it's demoralizing if you're the Blazers to be down 3-0 and to have that kind of performance on the closeout game. But that's how the Warriors do it to you. And it's over with. It's on to the next one.
And the Warriors shoot 59% from three, 17 of 29. Steph, 7 of 11 by himself from behind the line. Kalena, the only thing that may be of a concern to me is that second quarter, the way it tends to start. Obviously, they had the huge lead. They're up by 23. Lillard comes out and catches fire and cuts into the lead a little bit, and it's because that second unit sometimes struggles to find offense. Is this something that is a real concern? Am I nitpicking? It just seems like, and obviously this game is a bad example because you're up 23 and it doesn't really matter. But it seems to me the first 6 minutes of that second quarter, the offense isn't really there.
Offense isn't as good, obviously, with that second group, but I'm not really concerned about it. I like the bench play thus far. I don't think the bench play was as good as we saw in the later part of the season in this first round. But when you got a guy like Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, remember, the Warriors are two guys down, two key guys off the bench down, and Matt Barnes and Sean Livingston. So Sean Livingston, that's another ball handler. That's a huge part of your offense. You can always go to him, and he would have exposed Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, whoever right. they had on him. So that's a big part of your offense gone. Matt Barnes, he's a big part of your offense too. He can make great cuts off the ball. He can take his drives when they're there, knock down open threes. So that's big. I think Ian Clark, he's had a pretty good series, and he's going to be looking to play better next series. But that's a guy that can knock down threes and make good cuts too, take some drives in there too. So, and then David West, we talked about him, his great passing ability. So you're not really worried because you got veterans coming off the bench. You got guys you trust. And then I didn't even talk about JaVale McGee, who just changes the game when he comes in. And he's had a monster series. So I'm not as concerned. The one game where Damian Lillard is going off and the Warriors are up by a ton, sometimes you just kind of take your foot off the gas pedal a little bit. So I'm just not going to look at it that hard. I just like the way the Warriors bounced back and weathered the storm and were able to keep the lead at a pretty large amount and finish the game off right.
Clint Azubuike in studio with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned JaVale McGee, another ridiculous throwdown last night.
Yep.
If he departs after this year, which if someone offers him the money and he takes it, so be it. Nothing wrong with that. But if he helps them and continues doing what he's doing on their way to a title, is there ever going to be a player in Warrior history who did a stop and pop like this, showed up for 1 year, went nuclear, captured everyone's hearts, and then bounced for greener pastures? Like, think about how fondly everyone will remember a guy that averaged like 12 minutes a night.
Exactly. Amazing. Yeah, it will be crazy if he leaves. And no, there's never been a guy like that. I hope he stays, man, because this is just the best situation for a guy like JaVale McGee. And they play him perfectly, 4 or 5 minute blast, come in the game, change it. The shock value, they have to adjust to you. The lob respect, the vertical spacing you bring, just a whole nother element to their offensive game and defensively. He's been great on that end too, guarding the pick and roll. He's had some beautiful blocks, chasing guys down from behind. Last game, remember, he pickpocketed Damian Lillard. He's been active hands on that side. He's getting on the floor, just bringing energy on both sides. When he comes in the game, the energy just goes up to this crazy level where the other team is just like, okay,
here we go.
What do we do here?
And he's so comfortable.
He's so comfortable.
You're watching JaVale McGee just run around Joe and Dibs, just like, okay, I'm comfortable. And everyone's just like, we know we're going to feed him. He's going to get the alley. He's going to get one or two a night. You know that's just going
to
happen.
They're just not asking him to do too much.
Right.
Like, just pick it and roll to the basket. And if it's there, we'll throw it up to you. And you can go catch it with your ridiculous catch radius.
Right.
It's like showing up for this four-hour show, doing like 20 minutes of good radio and then rolling out. And everyone loves you for it. It's like, man, you got to catch that 20 minutes when Glenn is going to be on with those guys. Man, he's dominating.
That's why we win.
How hard is it, though, to convince a guy to turn down what could be significant cash to come back? Because the opportunity fit, I don't think anyone's going to agree with you. This is going to be the best spot for him. It's high profile. It rebuilds his career. He's not asked to do too much. Everyone likes him. His numbers are through the roof. He's a fan favorite. Everything's breaking your way. But to turn down significant cash in exchange for that fit, how hard is it to convince a guy to say, yeah, I'll leave 10, 20, 30, who knows how many millions of dollars on the table?
And you know what?
Especially when you get your ring. He's already going to have the ring if they win this thing.
He gets that ring. You can't tell me that he doesn't fit in Cleveland. with Kyrie, the way he penetrates and throws the ball up. You look at LeBron. You don't think LeBron will feed him.
But they probably wouldn't have the cash either. The good news for the Warriors.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Can they make that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be some teams, though, because of the fact, even in the role that he's playing in, a lot of teams are like, we can get him in that role. He can fit in this role.
Sixers can always use another center.
Right.
That's right. Sixers can always use another big man.
Teams that aren't as great, those are the ones that are probably going to have the most cap room.
He's going to look good in Orlando. Right. He's going to look real good in Orlando.
I think he's going to want to compete. If the money's too, it depends on how money talks. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I always want to believe I'd be one of those guys where it's like, yeah, I got enough in the bank account. Let's win titles.
David West?
There's no freaking way I would do that.
Yeah. West took the less?
Right. Well,
he's got plenty.
I'd probably be in China if it paid more.
Of all, David West has. Andre Iguodala has. That's one of the reasons I think maybe Sean Livingston might end up leaving, because he hasn't had that huge contract yet. He's made some good money, but he hasn't had that huge contract yet to the point where he'd be like, hey, I don't need this extra $10 million. I'm good. Yeah. I don't think he's at that point yet. So you can't blame him. And he just had a kid, too. But I agree with you. JaVale McGee, if it's that huge of an amount, like $30 million or something like that.
Bye-bye.
He's gone. Yeah,
dude, I'd play in Sweden if they were giving me enough money. I'd forget about the NBA. I'd go to Sweden, baby.
Okay, yeah.
No worries.
Like, that's me. It'd be all about the cash. But you just love to believe that. And the text line's hitting this too. The organization's standing up for him. The Shaq and the Fool thing.
Oh yeah.
Before he even needed to do anything, you had the organization pouring out calling TNT, saying something for Shaq. I mean, they have his back. Maybe to him, there's something to that in the locker room, looking around, saying these guys got me.
But Clint, you can speak for this too. I've been on teams in my 16-year career in Wes Walker, certain guys that I went over to from Drew and say, man, go do you.
Yeah.
Don't let this team take it. Man, I'm just telling you, I'd love for you to be here, bro, but man, you can't walk away from it. I think certain veteran guys that are in that locker room, Joe, Clint, don't you agree?
Of course.
If it's the money's out there, they're going to say, bro, you got to go, man.
Go get it. Go get that.
It's hard to fault that.
Yeah, you can't fault that.
Well, he's 29 years old, and this is really his last best chance to get like a multi-year, eight-figure contract.
So right.
And the Warriors are going to be able to offer him, what, $2 or $3 million to stay?
Yeah, well, it's sad, but he'll probably get a way bigger offer somewhere else, but there's no other team that can offer him what the Warriors do. There's no other team that has this many great passers,
I agree.
Many guys with great vision, high IQ, that understand how to take advantage of him and not make him do too much and let him be himself, but reel him back in at the same time. Like you're saying, it's amazing. But like you said, his teammates will be like, hey, make the best decisions for you and your family, do you. But you know what you have here with us.
Right.
So just keep that in mind.
Right.
You know what's going to be tough? He's going to be expected to look real good with that new team. If you take that money grab, like if you're a fan in Orlando, Miami, like wherever you would be with him, okay, JaVale McGee, I watched you in the playoffs. I saw you throwing it down left and right. I saw high energy. Now they're going to want 30 minutes a night. They're going to want high production, lots of dunks. Yeah. There's going to be a little bit of pressure with that.
On a bad team, too.
Yeah.
But your boy is in New York. Look at him. He left Chicago, is in New York, and everyone, you know, his knees haven't played.
New York would be a great place for him. You could fly under the radar. So much dysfunction. He could go there and do nothing.
Put him in Camille.
No one would even notice.
Him and Phil Jackson.
Right. Oh.
No one would even notice him in New York. There's so much dysfunction.
He can add on to it, man. There you go.
God, Porzingis doesn't even show up for the exit interview. He's like, forget this. I mean, that kid's what, 20 years old?
Right.
He's telling Phil Jackson, double barrel, baby. I'm out of here.
You know it's bad when that happens.
That thing's a disaster.
I'd go play for the Knicks though if they paid me. I mean, I'd love it.
Of course.
Yeah, if you're JaVale, learning that triangle offense, I don't know if you want to run it through JaVale in the post. I don't know if that's his skill set. Running that triple post with JaVale.
Kalena Azabuki in studio, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Help me with this. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I noticed that in the first two games with Steve Kerr coaching, Draymond Green attempted 7 3-pointers. Then Steve Kerr, out for games 3 and 4, Draymond Green attempts 13 3-pointers. His 3-point attempts, well, they've doubled. Do you think he is giving himself the green light here?
He's shooting 55% for the series.
I mean, he is. It's insane.
I just think he made some in game one. Made one in game two. But he realized, okay, I've made some threes. I'm just going to keep shooting. And he ended up
shooting
more. He's the splash uncle now.
The splash uncle. I like
that. Doesn't he kind of fit the uncle, though? Like the crazy uncle?
He does. You ever see him smiling when he hits a three? He never smiles more than that. It's like he wants to tell the whole world, see, I can do this too.
He's looking at the bench, pointing at people. He can't make a three and not do something. Like, he acts like he's never, well, he doesn't act like he's never done it before, but you got to love it. He celebrates.
But that's the basketball equivalent of the bat flip.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Every three he makes, it's Jose Bautista flipping the bat.
He wouldn't last a day in baseball. Unwritten rules, come on.
But you know him.
Draymond would get the ball thrown at him every single time he's up to bat.
Fighting with everybody.
Don't you think he's like, okay, this goes to show you, if I was on a team that didn't have these prolific shooters, probably the two best shooters in NBA, I could shoot the three. And he's thinking that. But we're talking about Coach. You were talking about Kerr. How much do you think that these players
could transition?
How much do these players realize that they don't have a guy that's looking over their shoulders, how much looser they can play? And sometimes you can play even better because of that guy, isn't that barking dog. At times you see that. Can you start to see that? Is it a good way how Kerr now is kind of management from outside? And how far can this work? I know Kerr is a great coach, but it seems like you see guys start to play looser. Look at Draymond shooting more threes. Feel that it'll go in more because subconsciously maybe coach is going to be in his ear. Do you think some of that has any effect at all?
Oh,
yes.
No, not really. I feel like Steve Kerr lets him play.
Yeah.
Like they play loose with Steve Kerr. Like Steph has taken long, crazy threes with Steve Kerr. We see Draymond shoot threes with Steve Kerr. I just think they got to a point in this fourth game where they're like, hey, let's just come out and just take it to them. Let's let it fly. They can't guard us. We're all going to make threes. And the thing with this team is you got Klay Thompson, who you can't help off of, really, if you're defending. Steph Curry, who you have to key on. You can't really help off him. KD, can't really help off that guy. So who are you going to help off of? If you have to pick one, it'd be Draymond Green if he's on the perimeter. And Draymond's going to get open shots, and he just took more of them last night. And you can't blame for him, and he's making a great percentage. So you want him to keep shooting. 55% for a series? He was the best three-point shooter in the series.
And a plus 38 last night. So go ahead and do whatever you need to do. If we need to keep Kerr in the hotel room, then Stevie, you can stay in the hotel room. Because your boy Draymond right now is going off.
These guys love their head coach, though.
Of course, they love
Steve Kerr, and he communicates with them. He's got that kind of player-to-player thing, but still a coach. He communicates well with these guys. He knows how to get the most out of them. Mike Brown is extremely capable, and he's got a lot of playoff experience, a lot of head coaching experience. The players respect him, too. But I don't think it's a thing where, okay, if the substitute teacher is here, let's just act crazy and do whatever we want to do. They're still playing well. They're still moving the ball on offense. It's still the same team, the same principles. They're still working hard defensively. Ron Adams is still over there screaming and looking crazy every time someone scores on the defensive end. So I still think they got it under control. They're just not acting out here. It's still Warrior basketball, I think.
From the 707, best morning hour in sports. You damn right it is, because Kalen Azubuike in studio with Joe Lowe and Dibs. Back with more hoops next. 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
This is where we make our money. This is what they call drive time, son. 7:30 to 8:45. Joe, Low, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Kalen Azubuike in studio.
Might as well
touch on this. We got the intern back there. He's 7 feet tall. Who's he play hoops for, Dibs?
San Francisco State. Shout out the Gators.
Might help, too, if I have his name. What's the intern's name? Ryan.
Melvin. He looks like a Melvin.
He looks like a Melvin? What does a Melvin look like?
Toothless, tall.
Toothless? He has.
He is missing.
He's missing one.
That was a basketball incident.
Like Melvin. You know, he's got that little, hey, Melvin, how you doing, Melvin? I'm good.
How many Melvins do you know?
Like two.
Do they all speak like that?
Yeah, pretty Melvin. He's Melvin, big guy.
All missing one tooth?
Yeah, one of my guys. Melvin doesn't have any teeth.
All right, we'll go with it. So Melvin is 7 feet tall.
Didn't take long to convince him. That's it. We'll go with it.
All this dude loves to shoot the three, though. Dibs, you were calling one of his games. He loves to shoot the three. I don't get it. If God blesses you with 7 feet, get under the basket, son.
Is that the first thing he says when you ask him, what do? I shoot threes.
Well, Dibbs had told me this in the morning, so he comes in. Hey, Joe, how are you? Very nice kid, by the way, Melvin. And I look at him, I go, Dibbs is telling me you're chucking up threes.
Took his name away and gave him Melvin.
Snatched it.
When you get promoted from intern to employee, I was an intern, man. I got treated like crap. It's time to pay back that favor. I looked at him. I was like, Dibbs is telling me you're taking threes.
Uh-huh.
Well, why?
Well, I like to.
You like to? You're 7 feet tall. That'd be like Lowe with that body. Look at him. He's like a refrigerator. Could play linebacker, could play fullback. I'm going to try to get on the PGA Tour. Why?
I would just say make that like what you do secondary. Like primary, be around the rim, be a finisher, be a post player. Focus on that as the main part of your game. Because like you said, you can make a living just doing that and finishing around the rim and making good post moves. Jump hook. Make sure you got your jump hook right.
Right, right.
And then if you're going to shoot a high percentage from three-point range, that doesn't hurt. In today's NBA game, three-point shooting is at a premium. Everybody's doing it now, so that's fine. But just make sure you don't forget about being inside the paint like a big man should be.
Like, Lena, you're 6'5 and chiseled. Do you ever think about joining the Pro Bowling Tour?
Actually, yes. No, I'm just kidding.
See what I'm saying? God's handing out gifts. You got to take advantage of those gifts.
It's Ryan Williams, by the way, for those of you scoring at home. And they had another big man, Joe. They had a big man who played the post. He was the ninth man brought in to shoot the three. Get off him. Get off Melvin.
He told me, he's like, hey, I shoot 47%. I'm going to launch him.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, more power to you,
He's
bro.
A knockdown shooter. No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much that I'm saying he can't shoot. It's just, it's confusing. It'd be like you not blessing us with your comedy every morning. Wow. It'd be like you coming in and being a straight shooter.
Wow. Joe, I have a real serious take on Buster Posey today.
Like, Dibs, get the hell out of here. Exactly. No one cares. It's like no one cares.
It's like Steph saying, I can really jump really high, so I'm going to play center.
That'd be like Steph saying, I'm going to get in the rap game. It's like, no, the rap game's already good. You just keep shooting the threes and keep dominating on the court and focus on what those gifts give you. You give back to the community. You don't need to be in the rap game.
Can we really be surprised, though, with today's NBA game?
No.
What are you going to tell Dirk Nowitzki
when
he came in the game?
Porzingis shoots threes.
All these big men are shooting threes now.
Except Jordan.
That's a good point.
He's airballing free throws still. He needs to make sure he's got that down before he moves out.
I mean, it's a shooter's game. It's just it's crazy. You see seven-footers, and you would just think, get under that basket. You can make a career for yourself. Put 40 pounds on. Get under that basket. Someone's going to notice. Shooting threes. But if he's knocking down 47%, who am I?
Just make that secondary part of your game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Kalena Azabuki in studio. So the Warriors are now off until either Sunday or Tuesday, depending upon what happens in the Jazz-Clippers series. Dibs asked this earlier. Which is the better matchup for them? If you're a Warrior right now at home, clearly you have the confidence that you could beat either team. Would you want to risk playing at elevation against Utah? You know you have ownage over the Clippers. Do you come up with a preference in a situation like that, or does it even matter at this point?
I think it's not even close. They'd rather play the Clippers. The Clippers are the better matchup, especially without Blake Griffin. That's a big part of your scoring gone. He brings you something defensively. That's a problem for them. You got Mo Spates starting. I think he had 5 points their last game. So there's a huge disparity there. Chris Paul, for the Clippers to even contend in that series, he has to play monstrous every single game. Jamal Crawford can give him something off the bench, but even he's not super consistent. So it's Chris Paul, JJ Redick has to knock down shots, which he didn't do at a very high rate their last game, and he's kind of been up and down this series. They're just kind of reeling right now, and they're still in the series, and it could go seven games. I'd give Utah the advantage right now because they got Gobert back. Gordon Hayward didn't even play the second half of their last game. He was fighting food poisoning, and they still handled him. You got Joe Johnson coming in and just controlling things like a grown man, just kind of backing people down, just taking his time, just playing slow, maybe split a double team here, hit Joe Ingles in the corner, maybe go up for his little ISO mid-range jumper or a floater, just doing whatever he wanted to do with him. And the Clippers really had no answer. So the Utah Jazz are a tough team. First of all, they slow the pace down. The Warriors would rather play fast. So that's one thing you got to contend with right off the bat coming in. The Warriors got to find a way to pick up that pace and make it the kind of game they want to play and kind of impose their will on a team that knows how to slow it down and will foul you or do whatever it takes to slow you down. Doesn't matter. Defensively, the Jazz are a much better team, I think. They can stay in the game with just their defense and give themselves a chance to win in the end. Gobert is a problem down there. You got to try to find a way to finish around him, jump into his chest or get away from the basket just so you can kind of open up that rim to get there. So if I'm the Warriors, I'd much rather play the Clippers, no question.
It's a Western Conference slate tonight with all three games being from the West. Do you think Houston closes out OKC? And what do you make of the Memphis-San Antonio in a huge Game 5 tonight?
I do think Houston will close them out. I like their team so much better. They just got so much more firepower. Russell Westbrook has to have a triple-double and a huge scoring game for them to have a chance. And even if he does that, you don't know what the other guys are going to give you. They're just inconsistent. They don't have great shooting. Houston has the option to go hack a Roberson. When has that ever happened? Hacking
right.
a guard.
right.
And
true.
It worked out great for him. So I like Houston in the series. If they don't win it this game, they'll probably win it next game. And I just think OKC's fighting an uphill battle there. And then Memphis and the Spurs. Memphis is fighting, man. And they're all the way in this series. And they're not going to just concede the series and say, Spurs, you're the higher seed, you're the two seed, you can have the series. They're not going to rook us. I think I have to say that every single time I talk about
it. Yeah, we got to get the T-shirts.
Right, right. Yeah, they should make a T-shirt, right?
They've got like four T-shirts based off that rant.
Right.
About data, about getting rooked. They have T-shirt game is strong in Memphis.
Fizdale is good for a nice quote or two.
Oh, I love it.
But Mike Conley, I think he has to have a huge game, control a game like he did the last time out. Marc Gasol has to control it as well. They can play through him. He's a great passer, very skilled big man. Zebo, when he's in the game, control the paint. Hopefully they can get to the free throw line if David Fizdale has anything to do with it.
Right.
And they got a chance. Again, they slow the pace down as well. They defend. They're an extremely tough team. And they got a lot of gritty players. And that really helps them. The Spurs, you got Kawhi Leonard. I love what Pau Gasol brings you. The other Gasol brother, Tony Parker.
Ginobili seemed like he got old overnight.
He did.
He's really been.
But Tony Parker's had some big games.
He has.
I can't believe he's still going at the rate he's going.
Parker's played
well. I cannot believe
it. You can tell he just takes care of his body. And he's still going.
I've lived in 10 different cities since that dude started.
right.
I've watched him in Allentown, in State College, in San Diego, in the Bay Area, in Vegas, in Florida. Like, Tony Parker, you can't get rid of the guy.
And he plays in France, too, right? So he's not just playing in the NBA. He's, like, playing in other leagues, too.
He's doing his thing.
How about going back to that Clippers series and thinking about that game, how much mental is it for the Clippers to look and say, okay, if we do win this game, we know we got the dubs. Do you think even when they're out there, not necessarily on the court, but just leading up to this playing in this series that they're in, you see one team that seems like not afraid of the dubs. You know, Utah said, hey, we can play with them. We beat them.
Mm-hmm.
A team that's not afraid, and then you have a team psychologically, I just think they're beat.
Let's use that as the tease for the next segment, if you don't mind. And if you want to join the party, 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and Dibs with Kalena Azubuki in studio, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in on this Tuesday. Joe Lowe and Dibs with Kalena Azubuki in studio, 95.7 The Game. And what is quickly becoming the greatest hour in American sports talk radio. Millions of are listening.
Millions.
I've been told. I just got that earlier. Millions are listening.
And thousands more on Facebook Live in case you happen to already be at work and you want to lock it into the 957 The Game Facebook page.
Thousands or billions with a B?
I'd have to refresh my page, Joe. can't
just skip tell. Millions. Thousands
just skip it. That's right.
Thousands. I mean, maybe thousands. I don't know. Billions.
thousands of billions. How about that?
Thousands of billions. I wanted to talk to you about this in terms of rest and whether or not this matters. I read into this because I'm always trying to find like a little edge, a little nuance, a little nook here and there. Steph averaged about 33 minutes and 45 seconds in these four games against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Klay was at about 34:15. Draymond was 36:15. LeBron, in his four games against Indiana, 43-45, a full 10 minutes more than Steph. Multiply that by four games in the series, that's 40 additional minutes. That's almost an extra night of work. Will that mean anything by the time these two meet, or am I just reading too deep into that?
Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers swept too, so they got a lot of time off. I think in the playoffs, you get a little more rest than people realize, and so I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue, but it can take its toll, especially if in the next few series, maybe the Cavs end up playing 5-6 games, which can happen. There's some teams in the East that can really push them. I think Toronto can push them. I think the Wizards, if they ever end up playing, I think there's teams that they can push them. So it can take its toll on you, but I feel like with the playoffs, it's not that big of a deal, especially when you swept, you got some time off, two games, there are 2 days in between games at times, and then you got LeBron James, who's just a freak of nature, and he takes care of his body, probably takes his supplements, so he'd be ready to go. But I did think last season the Cavs had a much easier time getting to the finals, and you could kind of see it just a little bit that they were maybe the fresher team after game five, just a tiny little bit. But you also got to take into consideration the Warriors were injured. Steph wasn't 100%. Andrew Bogut got knocked out. Then you had Draymond Green that got suspended. Andre Iguodala, remember, he was kind of going through his back issues. Now, was that because the Western Conference is the tougher conference still? And the Warriors had a tougher time getting there. They just fought with OKC for seven games and made it out alive in that series? Probably. So it can take its toll on you, but I think for LeBron James, time will tell. But it can take its toll. It can.
Is Boston going to be a team that can be formidable, assuming they get by Chicago, a team that's playing without Rajon Rondo? Is Boston a team that's kind of been exposed in this first-round series, or are they still a legitimate threat if they advance?
Well, they got lucky, in my opinion, with the Rajon Rondo injury. And the Bulls have just a much tougher time scoring without Rajon Rondo. Like, they got guys who can score, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade. But the shots they've been making have been just much tougher. They've come much tougher. And Rajon Rondo, one thing he does is he gets guys easy buckets. He puts them in great positions to score. He can get into the paint, break down the defense. Such a smart player. He watches a ton of film. I played with him at Kentucky. The guy was always watching film. And he knows this stuff. So that's why he's always arguing with coaches, because he feels like he knows better. Right. Like, I've probably watched more film than you. What are you going to tell me? So he's an extremely smart guy. But I think Boston, you got Isaiah Thomas. He's playing well. They got some really good players. They got some gritty players. Jay Crowder, smart. Al Horford. They're a good team. But if you're asking who poses the biggest threat to the Cavaliers, I would still go with Toronto. When Toronto's got their big backcourt playing well, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. They got the kid Powell. I think it's his second year. He's a really good player. Serge Ibaka, I like that pickup for them. Yeah. PJ Tucker, they got him. He can kind of maybe bang with LeBron James. He's a big body. You got Valanciunas coming off the bench. I like their team when they're clicking and playing well. I think they pose the biggest threat, probably bigger than Boston does for me, to Cleveland.
And when you think about just the NBA in general and the playoffs, okay, the Dubs number one seed. They played the number 9 or 8 seed, 1-4. Was that not expected when you just think about the talent level and the difference? Yeah, they have one of the best backcourts. But if you think about just all around, the Dubs should have taken care of them. You look at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They played a team in Indy. I think that if you put Indy in Rip City together, I think that'd be a hell of a series. You know, both these teams, they're not that good. You mm-hmm. know, they're up and coming. I don't know if Indy's up and coming, because they might lose Paul George, but that series would go either way. So when you look at what they've taken care of, both these teams, do you look at it like that and say, hey, they just took care of their business, but moving forward, the next round, Do you see any of these teams having a little bit more struggle?
They did what the Warriors did what they're supposed to do, but it didn't come without adversity. Like, if they lost the game, I'd have been like, eh, it's expected. Okay. Because they had injuries, Matt Barnes out, Livingston out. They played two games without KD. They lost their coach. They played two games with Mike Brown. True. And for most teams, you lose your head coach, you lose one of your best players, an extraordinary player like KD, you're going to drop a game, especially when the team you're playing against gets an emotional lift from their starting center back in game three. Portland had that game three circled for sure.
Sure.
They're like, hey, if we're going to win a game, it's now or never. If we don't get this one, then it's really going to be tough to beat this team. And the Warriors showed a lot of mental toughness. Didn't let all those issues deter them, overcame those, came out in the third quarter, and just strangled Portland. And so when you look at the series afterwards and you look at it and they went 4-0 and you're like, well, the Warriors were supposed to do that. But it was tough sledding at times, and the Warriors had to overcome some things to kind of do what they're supposed to do. So we definitely have to give them their credit. And then you look at that Pacers-Cleveland series. Pacers at one point should have been up maybe 2-1. That first game, they had a chance to win. We talked about it. And Paul George wanted that ball back, but CJ Miles wanted to be the hero. That didn't work out. Then they blow a huge lead in game three that they should have won. So that series could have been way different. And if you ask me, I think the Warriors showed me more mental toughness than the Cavaliers did. I thought the Cavaliers looked shaky at times defensively, and they didn't look as great. I thought the Warriors turned it on defensively, especially when they needed to late, and the defense won them the game. So I like what the Warriors have done much more than the Cleveland Cavaliers, but hey, they're the only two teams that swept. And that's great for them. Now they get rest and they wait for the challenger next series.
And you know better than anybody how close you can be without winning a series. And I'll take you back to the We Believe season, 06-07, after you guys obviously with the stunning upset in the first round, and then you go to face Utah, you lose by 4, then you lose in overtime in those first two games against the Jazz. Just take us back to that season, that playoff run, and just what the excitement level was among the players. We all know as fans how bananas we were, but being inside that mini run, did you know how special that was?
You knew how special it was when you listened to the crowd scream and roar. It's still the loudest I think I've ever heard Oracle to this day, and Oracle still gets super loud, but there was just a lot of built-up years there where they were just hungry, and you could hear it. And the Oracle faithful, Dub Nation, they showed out their knowledgeable crowd, and we really fed off of their energy. And then coming into that first round against the Mavs, we were so confident that we were going to win. We beat up on them in the regular season. We had Coach Don Nelson that knew Dirk Nowitzki and the Cavs like the back of his hand. We had a perfect game plan for him. We could run them out the gym. We could knock down threes. We were playing together. I felt like the confidence was just building, building, building. After that trade where we got Steven Jackson, Al Harrington, our confidence just building, and our chemistry was getting better and better. We were having fun. We were dancing in the locker room before games. We were swagging around. And we came out and just played extremely well in that first round. And we had the perfect game plan for Dirk Nowitzki. We always talk about the one-up series they used to run. He'd get the ball on the elbow, and he'd take one dribble to his right, and he would spin, and Don Nessel would send a guard or someone to run at him and get the steal. And it happened like 50 times, it felt like. And we'd go down and score, and they had no answer for it. So we ran them out of the gym, and then that second series, we should have won, like you said, but we just couldn't close out games. We couldn't knock down some free throws, maybe a bad tech here or there from Steven Jackson. But we really felt like, hey, once we beat Dallas, we felt like we had the chance to win the whole thing. It was like we beat the best team in the league, basically. So why can't we be the best team now and go all the way? And we couldn't.
Do you see some of Steven Jackson in Draymond Green with the way he plays the edge and the way he's able to play multiple positions and defend so well?
Yeah, I see some similarities. Definitely their attitude, how talkative they are. Their chippiness.
The tech that he got, and it's like, oh, that's right. Steven Jackson used to run his mouth a little bit to the referees.
Yeah, he did. He did. He let them know what he was thinking. He was not afraid to give him a piece of his mind. And he wasn't afraid to give other players a piece of his mind, too. Steven Jackson used to talk trash to Kobe Bryant. And I'm not sure it affected him, but I think Steven Jackson enjoyed it. But Steven Jackson was a great teammate, by the way. He gave me a diamond watch just for being on the team when I was a rookie. I was like, dang. What?
There was no occasion or anything like that?
No occasion.
Diamond watches for everyone or just for you?
No, just for they brought three in. I got one. I think Al Harrington somehow got, I don't know why. He just took
teammates.
One. Right.
Yeah.
And then...
Diamond watches.
I can't remember who else took it.
I think the occasion was his $67 million contract. I think that's what it was.
It was before that.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Respect.
It was my rookie year.
Wow.
Man.
Because he got that monster
deal.
He got
nine a year or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you just wearing that thing everywhere?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding?
God, go right to the club with that
now,
thing.
Yeah. Now I don't even wear it, but I think it's framed at home or something, or just put in a box, just tucked away. I don't like wearing it much anymore, but yeah, I used to wear that thing everywhere.
We got about a minute left, but during that We Believe run, have you ever gone back and spoken with anyone from Dallas on the other side of the equation who could testify to how loud it was in that building? Because anyone you talked to who attended those games said they felt Oracle shaking. Have you ever talked to anyone who was on the other side of the equation years later saying, man, that was a loud gym?
I actually haven't, and I would love to. I know Dirk Nowitzki was affected. Because he punched a wall after the series and ended up signing it. He's a cool dude for doing that. He ended up signing a t-shirt too, a We Believe t-shirt. But it has to be demoralizing to look up in the stands and see that off yellow where it's just kind of blinding. What is that? Yeah, it's not yellow. It's off yellow.
People were all over the court. Yeah. It looked like you guys were in church.
Right.
Everyone was all on the floors, the court, the fans going crazy. It was it was a party.
And the screaming, when the screaming is against you like that, it's really tough to think. You know what I mean? And to be able to play and run your stuff, and it's just a different feeling. So Oracle and Dub Nation, they came out and did their thing, and they're just a huge part of the reason why we won that series.
That's why it's got to be so awesome if you're a guy like Reggie Miller and you can shut up Madison Square Garden in the playoffs. Man. Like with everyone screaming like that, if you're Dirk or anyone on the Mavs, the only thing you want to do is shut up 18,000 people.
Yes.
Just stick it right down their throat. Shut them up. That's why Reggie doing that at the Garden and then looking at Spike Lee.
Perfect.
That moment's got to be... Oh my God. I mean, you just gotta, you're gonna fall asleep to that for the rest of your life.
Right. And I'm sure Dirk wanted so bad to do that. Just knock down some threes or something. Just get Dub Nation off their game. Just get them quiet. and Dub Nation wasn't having it. They just screamed until they couldn't scream anymore. It was incredible.
Awesome stuff. Kalen Azubuki in studio with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I guess we're not going to see you for a week because we don't have a game until either Sunday or Tuesday.
I'll miss you guys.
I'm going to miss you too. This is the greatest hour in the history of sports talk radio.
Doors always open.
I don't think I'm exaggerating.
If you want to talk NFL draft Thursday or Friday, come on in.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to get into Christian Arroyo here in a little bit with John Morosi. So you're
Arroyo.
Welcome anytime you want.
It's
but
tempting.
For now, we're going to bounce for about a minute. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.